The first Pride Parade in the United States was held back in 1970. That was a year after the Stonewall Uprising in New York City. The parades are an annual event now in cities all across the country and around the world, including for the very first time this year in Starkville, Mississippi.
We're both part of the LGBTQ plus union at Mississippi State. It's a student activist group. And we just now, this year, got enough members, we thought, to kind of put on something of the magnitude of a pride. I filled out the permit to have the parade. All the city officials were pretty friendly and encouraging of the parade. One of the police officers we talked to even was like, we can get the pink fire truck from the fire department. We were pretty excited about that.
That's Emily Turner, who, along with her partner, Bailey McDaniel, organized the first ever Pride Parade in Starkville, Mississippi. That's a college town. But enthusiasm on campus did not mean enthusiasm from everyone in town, including some of those elected officials.
Starkville hasn't denied any special event requests in like 10 years. Is that right, Bailey? Yeah,
like 10 years.
So it's like 88 requests in a row. So we were like, it's a parade. Like, it's not going to be a big deal. As it's a college town, like, they may not agree with it, but they're not going to deny our requests, right? Well, we're kind of wrong.
We're way wrong.
They did not seem excited at all about the idea of having a pride parade in their city.
Bailey, you went in front of the Board of Aldermen to get your permit processed. What happened?
Yeah, so in the Board of Aldermen meeting, we weren't allowed to speak when the item came up for the board to discuss, but we were allowed to give citizen comments. So I was the first one to speak, and I tried to just explain kind of the state of LGBTQ plus students at Mississippi State. So like 10 years ago, if not sooner than that, there was a secret knock to get into the meetings that LGBTQ plus students would have because they were afraid of like meeting backlash or people being really rude or just being violent towards them. And I tried to explain how like that has grown in the last 4 years and how we didn't have to knock anymore, but we needed to continue to not have to knock in the city because we were going outside of the university and going into the city. And it was really vulnerable for me to go in front of them and be like, hey, I'm openly part of this community. I'm trying to do this event. And the thing was, is they wouldn't even look me in the face.
So they denied that first application. Some advocacy groups got in touch with you. An injunction followed. And then what?
We heard from people all over the country. Mm-hmm. Some people from Illinois reached out to us. They were like, the same thing happened to us. We just want to offer our support. We heard from people from Florida, New York,
Atlanta,
California.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a bad thing, but it ended up making Pride better.
And bigger than ever.
Yeah,
than we could have
ever imagined.
Now, we should say the lawsuit was filed, the injunction was filed, and then the alderman came back and voted again. Talk about that.
We filed the lawsuit, so the meeting happened on Tuesday, and we filed the lawsuit that next Monday. The board, I guess they thought that the insurance for the city was going to cover it, but I think they got pretty scared about how much it was going to cost them, honestly. And so one of the aldermen put the
parade
back on the agenda for them to discuss it again. And that meant that the next Board of Aldermen meeting, which happened to be the next Tuesday, they would have to discuss it again. And when we got into that meeting, I was not expecting them to change their mind. Yeah. They knew the repercussions of their decision the first time, and they still made that decision. So I thought we were going to go in there and be humiliated again. But one of the aldermen abstained. He was like, I still uphold to my moral beliefs or something like that, but he was going to abstain.
Because it was better for the city,
yeah.
He said.
I don't think you can view it as they learned from the error of their ways. They just were afraid of the money it was going to cost them.
Yeah.
Well, what has community reaction been like outside of the deliberations of the Board of Aldermen? What have people said to you?
People will just stop us and be like, I love you guys. You're amazing. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
thank you for everything that you've done. Congratulations. Yeah. Like people I've never met before, and even people I don't think Emily's met before, and she's from here. So just the outpour of support and love has been amazing. And so many people have been like, anything that you need,
let me know.
I'll be there at 6 a.m. on Saturday to help you set up.
Yeah.
People will go into a restaurant and people will sit down and just like thank us. And I think for me, the most poignant thing that's happened is the high school. So a couple of kids from the high school came to a meeting that we had right after the board denied the parade the first time. And one of them, her name's Emma, and she spoke at the next Board of Aldermen meeting. And we had 25 seconds left in our side of citizen comments. And she walked up there and she was like, My name is Emma. I'm from Starkville High School, and I'm here on behalf of all of the students who are too afraid to stand in front of you guys. And we've had so many kids, and I know that we're still kids, but like 16, 17, 18-year-olds being like, I didn't even know the gay people existed in Starkville. And I'm part of the community, or I think I'm part of the community, and it's just like so great to see this, to know that I don't have to leave to be accepted. I don't have to leave to find people who are like me. And that, to me, has just like brought me to my knees every time I hear it.
I mean, I used to be one of those kids, so it's like amazing that we've been able to kind of
help
them, because I know that's kind of one of the reasons that I wanted to come to Mississippi State, is to like make it better for those kids who are kind of like
questioning and worried about their identity.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit more, because you both have roots in Mississippi. This is home to you. And Emily, like you said, you're from Starkville. This is your town. And I guess you could have been that kid, or maybe you were that kid in high school.
Yeah, I definitely was that kid that didn't really come out in high school, didn't want to be gay, I guess, and didn't know that there was a community in Starkville that I could reach out to for acceptance and just kind of to talk and be comfortable. When I came to Mississippi State, I realized that there was an LGBTQ community there, and I was really excited. And now we're all kind of banded together in Starkville Pride. And that's also been one of the best parts about doing Starkville Pride, is meeting the adults. I mean, I know we're adults technically, because we're
21. But not really.
But yeah, so meeting the adults who've offered their support. Lots of professors have worked with us. Kind of our mentor through everything has been Patty, and she's a professor here. Anything we need, she's always there. Like, if something happens and we're like, Patty, what do we do? She always knows what to do. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's been my favorite part probably of the whole thing, besides helping the high school students, is getting to know older gay people in the community who I didn't know before.
Well, have you two ever been to a Pride event before?
No,
we haven't.
No.
It's so funny. We traveled this summer, and we were like 2 or 3 days away from every single Pride in every single place that we were
city,
at.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in Sao Paulo, we missed Pride by like a few days.
For a lot of people in the LGBTQ community, they sort of describe their first Pride almost in sacred terms, you know, a rite of passage for a lot of people. For some, it's a protest, but certainly something that when you talk to people, you know, they say they're never going to forget. And for you two, your first Pride event is one that you fought for and you planned and you're putting on, for the first one in Starkville.
I grew up in a really small town. It was super conservative, and not that conservatism is bad, but it was just really closed-minded, and you didn't know that other people existed outside of like white, cisgender, just Christians, honestly. And for me, like, I've been at State for 4 years, and I'm the first person in my family to go to college, so I didn't know how to do college. I didn't know how to do this. I didn't know how to navigate anything, so I just thought that if something was wrong, you went to someone and said, hey, this is wrong. This is not okay. Can you explain why this isn't okay? So I've kind of had a reputation of just knocking on everyone's door and being like, this is really messed up. Can you fix this? Can you explain why this is something? Yeah. So to me, it's going to be more sacred of an experience, because I'm graduating in May. And hopefully going to law school. So this is going to be like my last big hurrah in Starkville and in Mississippi. And it's something that isn't widely accepted, isn't common here, but I know is like important. The culmination of the last 4 years for us. So Section 93 of the first Pride flag is coming. It's from Key West. The people in Key West have it. And I was contacted by this guy named Mark, and he was like, Section 93 was the 24-foot long, 17-foot wide flag that was on the steps of the Supreme Court when Edie Windsor took down the Defense of Marriage Act, which her attorney is our attorney, which is just crazy, the coolest thing. It was the flag, the huge Pride flag on the steps when Obergefell versus Hodges came down in 2015, which legalized same-sex marriage. So we're going to be carrying that. Like 25 people of our closest friends are carrying that flag, and it's about to be inducted into the Smithsonian. So this is like the last march that it's probably going to go on, or one of the last marches. And to me, that's just, it makes me clam up and like cry, because that is a flag that so many people have touched and been influenced by, that we get because we're making history here. I don't really know how the parade is going to go. We've kind of handed that off to some of the bigger adults to handle the logistics, but I'm just really excited. And Emily and I are grand marshaling, so we're going to carry the
banner at the
big
front.
Starkville Pride Persists banner at the front, and
yeah,
be followed by
Everyone.
Bailey McDaniel and Emily Turner, the organizers of the first ever Starkville Pride Parade in Starkville, Mississippi. Bailey, Emily, have fun.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.